precisely because also the Office of the Auditor General has requested to be with us maximally until 11:30 at the most. They have to do a similar exercise with other committee. So if we can settle down and then allow good morning, members. What we'll do, without waste of time, allow the Office of the Auditor General, Mrs. Ngao, and a team, and perhaps just very briefly to introduce your team, and then get going. And then we'll come later with our own housekeeping issues. Because we also have only one item, which is the exercise that we're going to go through with the Auditor General. I must also mention, as we did highlight yesterday, that the purpose of this exercise, how we would have wished that we have had it before the presentation or submission of department and entities of their annual reports. I think this would have really gone a long way in assisting us. Be that as it may, not all is lost. We will still, you know, require such information for planning as we go through the medium-term budget policy statement and also the budget as well. And perhaps also for ease of our own reference, Mrs. Ngao, if we could also maybe just touch, well, what actually happened is that we did get all the submissions from the department and entities. However, there was only one that we were not satisfied with. That is now Ngqeqa Farms. We were battling with a question yesterday about the implication of such. And perhaps if we could also touch on that as you go through your presentation as well. And members, without waste of time, let's allow Mrs. Ngao to take us through and perhaps with a brief introduction of your team. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair, and morning to you and the honourable members. Chair, my name is Mason Gao. I'm the business executive responsible for the agriculture portfolio. Next to me is Fanny Kok. He is the senior manager in charge of the agriculture portfolio, and next to him is Benny Fee. He's the manager responsible for the agriculture portfolio. Across there, before I get in trouble, is Zanele Ketu, our parliamentary manager in Cape Town. I forgot to introduce her yesterday with one of the portfolio committees, and I got in trouble. Chair, as you have indicated, that it would have perhaps been better if we presented to the portfolio committee before the session with the department. We do apologize that it didn't happen that way, but again, I think the information that we are to give is information that we believe will assist the portfolio committee to perform its in-year monitoring and holding the department accountable to achieve a number of things. Because as we go through the presentation, Chair, you will also notice that there are targets that have not been met, and this needs to be monitored. You will also notice that our major concern is the material adjustments to the financial statement, which is applicable to most of the entities and the department within this portfolio. Here and there, there's an increase in the regular expenditure, which concerns us as well. So there are a number of aspects, and this we will confirm again through a letter after today, just to give the portfolio committee an indication of where we would like you to zoom in to make sure that, you know, within your in-year monitoring program, just to assist the department. And having mentioned the non-achievement of the targets of the entities and the department, I need to also explain that how we calculated this non-achievement was nothing mechanical at all. Departments and entities, they set their own targets. Nobody set these targets for them. Here and there, they would indicate that it's due to budget constraints that they could not achieve the target. But what we are saying is, and you will see at the end when we close and we discuss the pyramid of accountability, we are saying that if all processes, all effective processes are in place, departments and entities should plan better and should be in a position to identify that the budget that has been allocated to them is not sufficient for them to achieve their targets, and therefore they need to revise the targets accordingly. They need to come to Parliament. It needs to go through the same approval process that the strike plan went through. And this involves constant monitoring and evaluation, which is generally lacking in the public sector. And as I was saying, our counting was just in terms of there are 100 targets, for example, and 50 were met and fully met, and therefore 50 out of 50 not met is 50%. So the calculation was as simple as that. There were no mechanical or scientific probabilities that were included in there. Because the argument again that I had with one of the departments is that according to National Treasury, if they met 50 to 52%, it's an achieved or it's a partially achieved, then it should be counted. And what we're saying is you have been allocated a budget to meet certain number of targets. These number of targets were not met, and if it's partially achieved, it is not achieved, and it's as simple as that. And just briefly again on Weha Farms, Chair. Weha Farms is one of the entities that we call Section 4(3) entities. In terms of the Public Audit Act, the Auditor General has opted not to audit these entities that historically we haven't been auditing. However, we oversee the process. And I must mention that interaction with this farm, with farm management, has been really problematic, because every time we request to meet with them, we haven't been able to have access to them. I was in the Eastern Cape about 4 weeks ago, and we requested that they make time to meet with us, and they haven't been available. So it's quite problematic, but we do have the audit outcomes, and these come from the CFO. They have appointed Pricewaterhouse as consultants, and you will realize that from the finance side, they are quite good, but from the performance side, they are not doing quite well. But once again, this is just information that we get through the audit firm. We haven't been in a position to engage with management because we are required to interact with management. Having said that, Chair, I just want to get into the introduction of our presentation, and if you will allow it, Mr. Kok will go through the presentation, I will give the introduction, and I will do the closure and deal with the last two slides, because those are high-level slides in terms of process that is necessary for everybody in this sector to play their role as required. Chair, you'd recall that it's for a number of years that we as the Auditor General have established a deeper analysis of the behaviors within the public sector that we feel delay the achievement of clean audit reports. and check what what is clean audit reports. Let's focus on what is clean audit reports. Apologies for that. Technically, in a private sector, they express an opinion on financial statements in the audit report. So the audit report will consist of an opinion on the financial side of the organization. Now, if an entity has an unqualified report, it is said to be a clean audit. Now, in the public sector, we report on three areas. Over and above the financials, we report on predetermined objectives. We are moving towards expressing an opinion on predetermined objectives, but we are not yet there. A readiness assessment was done. The report will be tabled probably early in the next year on how ready public sector is on how to report on performance information. But we are not yet there in terms of expressing an opinion on predetermined objectives. So we report factual material findings in the audit report. We then report on compliance with rules and regulations. Now, because we focus on the three areas, and these go on to the audit report, and we feel that all these three areas are interrelated. Without finances, you cannot provide services. Without complying on rules and regulations, you are impacting on both finances and service delivery as well. So all these three areas are interrelated. And therefore, when we talk about clean audit outcomes in the public sector, we are saying there should be an unqualified financial opinion. No findings on the finance side, no findings on predetermined objectives in the audit report, and no findings on compliance with rules and regulations on the audit report as well. So this is what we are saying when we say clean audit outcomes in the public sector. So I thought I should just elaborate on that just to give perspective. And so what we did as the Auditor General, we zoomed into all the areas that sit in these three areas that will impact an organization in the public sector not to achieve clean audit outcomes. And we identified five areas, Chair. And these areas are supply chain management, information systems, service delivery, human resource management, and credibility of information submitted. And as we go through the presentation, you will be able to see where all these areas fit in. Obviously, HR management, it fits in with skilled individuals within the organization who are able to deliver in terms of their roles and responsibilities. Supply chain talks to compliance with rules and regulations, where possible irregular contracts might be given. It talks to possible fraud and corruption. Credibility of information talks to material adjustments to the financials, and it also talks to performance management of individuals in the organization. An information system is a reliable system that is able to produce credible information for management to rely on it and for auditors to also rely on the information that comes on out of the information system. And over and above the key areas, Chairperson, what we looked into was the oversight and governance structures within an entity. And these, we talk about risk assessment and risk management, effectiveness of internal audit, and effectiveness of audit committees. And again, as you go through the presentation, you'll see the link between the governance structure in the organization and the outcomes of the entity. And Chair, having said that, I would like to then hand over to Fani to take us through the presentation. I will then conclude with the two slides that I'm talking about, and we will take questions from the members if you allow. Thank you.
How is the other mic?
Thanks. On the first slide here, the reputation problems of the Auditor General. Say the Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate and as a supreme auditor institution of South Africa. It exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling the oversight, accountability and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building from public confidence. This is just the index of the slides. If you go to page 4 of the slides, there we've got the outcomes for the department and its entities for 2011 and 2011-12. For the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, 11-12 is unqualified or opinion. The predetermined objectives are the adverse opinion. And on compliance, there was issues on supply chain management, the human resource plan that was not approved, and material adjustments to the financial statements. And if you can go, there's an Excel spreadsheet as well with the slides that is gave out. On the supply chain management for the department, it was for goods and services with transactions between 10,000 and 500,000, where they didn't obtain three quotations as per the policies. What they usually do, they send out a request for quotations, but they send out for three or four, but they only receive two out of the request that they send out, and then they use that too. But in terms of the policies, they must have three quotations. So they, if they only receive two, they must go again out to make sure that they've got the third quotation to have a fair basis on what they do on the supply chain management. So that was the issues at the department for the supply chain management. On the HR resource plan, it was in draft. And it was not approved during the financial year, and I think it was only approved in March of 2012. So that's what Rayway says it's not the compliance. And the financial statements, the adjustments, we can quickly go there.
So sorry, as you go ahead, if you don't mind, just very quickly, without having to assume, what do those signs mean? Just without assuming.
All right. The first on the right hand side, that stayed the same from the last year. The predetermined objectives are the same and compliance is the same. So there was no improvement or regression from the previous year. Last year was unqualified, this year unqualified. The predetermined objectives are exactly the same as the previous year, and the compliance last year was down, but this year it's more the same as the previous year. There's not a lot of compliance issues and supply chain management issues like in the previous year. That's what that was is for the department. On the that's the financial statements were submitted. What in the department, most of the material adjustments is on the disclosure notes. Where the department at this stage doesn't have processes to make sure that the disclosure notes are fairly stated. So that's where most of them comes from. And we say that results is because management don't prepare regular financial statements. We ask them to, on a regular basis, do fully financials with all the disclosure notes, so that on a regular basis they actually exactly know where they are with their disclosures as well. And another issue is that the internal audit function during the year and the previous years was not effective, and it's actually their responsibility as governance structure to make sure that the controls in the department is up to standard, and they have to actually verify to see if the financials and the statements are correct. That's on that. On the predetermined objectives for the department, We reported on the usefulness of the information, and that where we say reasons for major variances not explained. So there we say not all major variances between planned and actual achievements were not explained in the annual performance report for the year under review. This was due to limited review of the presentation of annual performance report by management. I think at the department as well, at this stage, previously as well, the director that's running with the procurement objectives. They a lot of vacancies, and they actually for this in the last year they started to fill these vacancies, and they're stepping up to get the skills, because the skills was not there for them to do the procurement objectives. We had a discussion last week, the week before, with the department. And from that director, they already indicated they put in plans to address this predetermined objective. So hopefully, when we do the interim audit this year, in January, February, we will hopefully see already a change in the predetermined objectives that they do. That's on the reliability of the information. There we say inadequate supporting documentation support the accuracy, validity, and completeness of the performance targets reported. So they reported something, but they can't verify it by documentation. The next one is achieve of planned targets. The total number of planned targets, only 43 targets were achieved during the year under review. This represents 51% of the total planned targets that were not achieved during the year under review. So that's again that's what they've said they've achieved. We can't get information, or yes, the information is there to verify the part that they can actually have achieved. And they will say it's inadequate planning during strategic planning phase, resulting in targets being included which indeed does not have control over. I think that's what Macy also relate to when we talk about predetermined objectives. That is for the department. We go to understood poor biological products. We'll see from the previous year to the current year, there was went up from a qualified to unqualified opinion, so it's an improvement. On the predetermined objectives, it stayed the same as the previous year. And then for the current year, it stayed the same as the previous year. Previous year it went down, but the issues of last year and this year is about the same. So we say the findings is on the strategic plan and the performance management, assets management, internal audit, supply chain management, and expenditure management. That way, which way the compliance issues were. If you can go to the detail on the supply chain management, delegation of authority and supply chain management policy were not updated and approved to be fully compliant with all the laws and regulations, and therefore goods and services were not always procured through a process that was fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost effective as required by the PMA. And then the root cause we say there is as a result of inadequate oversight responsibility from management to ensure that updated policies and procedures is up to date and is complied with laws and regulations. If we don't have policies and procedures, your people, the staff that's doing your procurement, or they won't then actually follow what they're supposed to, and then that's what where you will get non-compliance or irregular expenditure on the supply chain management. On the predetermined objectives is the usefulness. We say consistency in terms of the territory regulations require that the annual performance plan must be approved by the executive authority. Therefore, if the annual performance plan is changed in year due to significant policy or mandate changes, the updated plan has to be approved by the executive authority. A total of 41% of the objectives reported in the performance report were inconsistent with the objectives as per approved annual performance plan. Then we say it's inadequate exercise oversight by executives for the targets to meet the SMART principles. Measurability on the predetermined objectives requires that the performance targets be specific in clearly identifying the nature and required level of performance. Plans and reported targets were not sufficiently specific in clearly identifying the nature and the required level of performance for the selected objective. 68% of the planned and reported targets were not specific. And then we said inadequate exercise oversight responsibility executive on the SMART principles. On the compliance issues for Fonds de Poor, the financial statements submitted for it were not prepared and all material specs in accordance with the requirements of the PFMA. That's where they say it should be free of material misstatements. There were material misstatements of capital assets, current and deferred tax, value-added tax, and the closure items identified by the auditors were subsequently corrected, resulting in this financial statements receiving an unqualified audit opinion. And there as well, with the root cause, we say that Indy did not have an effective internal audit function, as the internal audits were appointed in 21 December 2011 only, and only effective for 3 months. So their responsibility they didn't achieve. On that one, there's OBP, the strat plan was not approved by the executive authority. And internal audit, only appointed in fourth quarter, as we indicated, as 21st of December 2011. Next one is the NMC. That's one of the audits in the portfolio that's stayed the same as previously. That's a clean audit. There's no unqualified audit opinion, no material findings on the predetermined objectives, and no issues on the compliance. If we go to the Agricultural Research Council, for the current year, the financial statements is unqualified, the same as the previous year. On the predetermined objectives, there was no material findings as the previous year as well. For the current year, they've got findings on material adjustments on the financial statements and asset management. And if you go to the detail there, financial statements for material adjustments of the disclosure items identified by the auditors were subsequently corrected, and then therefore the unqualified audit opinion. And there we say the management did not implement daily and monthly controls as designed by the entity's business processes, as some of the bank reconciliations were not performed weekly and material adjustments were made to the financial statements submitted for audit. The last one is the PPE, it's the PPECB. That's also one of the audits that's got a clean audit. It's unqualified for financial statements. Predetermined objectives is also no material findings, and the compliance also none identified. Yeah, forms, financial statements unqualified, predetermined objectives disclaimer, and on the compliance we've got findings on material adjustments to the financial statements, the audit committee, risk management strategy, and internal audit. If you look at the predetermined objectives is also the usefulness of information. No evidence has been provided by the entity to support that the annual performance plan of the entity has been submitted to the executive audit for approval, and the reliability of the information, inadequate supporting documents to support the accuracy, validity, and completeness of the performance targets reported. So there is an inadequate record keeping process resulting in loss of the audit trail, and inadequate process in place within the department to ensure that the predetermined objectives targets reported is accurate, valid, and complete. On the audit committee, there's no proof that the audit committee met twice in the year. That we bring in as a compliance issue. and there was no risk management and strategy in place for the year under review, and there's no proof of internal audit activities in Gera Farms. And then the last, I think this is the last one, Marine Living Resource Fund. The financial statements is unqualified as the previous year. On predetermined objectives, they haven't found any material findings. The only findings on the compliance is the, on the audit committee that was not in place for the last 2 months of the financial year. And that's the only issues on compliance on the Marine Life Resource Fund. If we go to the next slide, we've got the outcomes and key control status, where we talk about the leadership, financial performance management, and governance. This speaks to the issues that we picked up during the audit, and we said for the leadership at DAF, it stayed the same on leadership, financial performance, and governance structures for from last year to this year. Honestepoort the same, NMC the same. IRC is just one regression, and it's in the financial performance management. That's the result of the material adjustments to the financial statements. PPECB is the same as the stayed the same as the previous year. NEGA Farms on the leadership, it was a slight improvement. Financial performance management went down, and governance also. And I think we've already explained it why there was a regression in the governance structures as a result of audit committee, internal audit, and a risk assessment. MLF leadership was regression, financial performance management regression, and governance also regression. That's on that slide for there. Further analysis of the DAF key controls classified causing concern. We've got the first one there that is on the leadership. 14% we say of the entities it's an intervention required. 14% intention is there, and 71% is good on the leadership. We go to the financial performance management. 14% is intervention required. Intention is, sorry, on the first one, some progress is the 14%, and this one, the 14%, the orange one, is the intention is there from the auditees. On the 29%, the some progress has already been made, and 43% is good. And then on governance, there we have the 43% some progress, 14% almost there, and then 43% is good under the governance structures.
Chair, my apologies, through you. Can I just explain here, what we are doing, you'd recall that when we analyze the key controls, we indicate the green, meaning that it's there, yellow, meaning that there's progress in place, and red, meaning intervention is required. Now, you see a lot of colors here, and between intention is there and almost there is the category, is the yellow category. And we've broken the yellow category in terms of progress made within yellow. Because what we have seen is that most entities get stuck in yellow. And the reason why we classify green, yellow, and red is that if you move from red, you go to green, meaning you are making progress, and then you progress to green, and you don't get stuck in yellow. And entities that get stuck in yellow, they have a tendency of regressing into red, and hence we have now classified the yellow to give an indication of where are they in yellow. Are they really making progress, or are they not making progress at all? So what we're saying is if an entity is more than 2 years in yellow, then the progress is superficial. They should actually be red. So that's basically what we say.
Thank you. On the next slide is the progress in the prior year commitments. Commitments to address findings identified during the audits for DAF and OBP, they've addressed it. The current status, intervention required overall, And then the comment, there are repeat findings on the predetermined objectives for the department, repeat findings on compliance and supply chain management. So for that two departments, there's definitely intervention required on those issues that we've reported on. Commitment to appoint increased capacity of internal audit, that's for the department and OBP. They're in progress, but I think the progress from the department side is a bit slow, so we'll have to see how quick they can address these issues. They've increased the capacity, but the internal audit plan is still to be tabled for three audit to the audit committee for the year, so it hasn't been approved yet, so we don't know what work they're going to carry out for the financial year that we're going to audit now. Commitment to reassess the composition of the chairperson of the board of the audit committee and honest to court. There they've addressed the issue. The chairperson is not, she's a chairperson of the audit committee, but not a chairperson of the board anymore. Recommended the commitments for clean administration, as Macy talked about. For DAF, consultants skills transfer to be monitored and evaluated monthly progress reports from consultants on skills transfer. This way the department bring in consultants to help them out with problems, and we say we must make sure, the department must make sure that there's a transfer skill. So when they're not there anymore, the consultants, that the staff will be able to address the issues. When effective implementation of approved organizational structure, taking into account the skills gap identified and developed, IT system producing credible financial and non-financial information, bodies with skills relevant to finance, performance, compliance, information systems, that's the issue at DAF and OBP. Sustainability of in-house internal audit, there we can see at most of the entities there's a problem. DAF, OBP, IRC and care of NEGA farms, where we've got a problem with internal audit. Monitoring and compliance unit strengthening responsibilities, that's what they must commit to as a DAF, OBP and IRC and Marine Living Resource Fund. And then management self-assessment using key control documents, and that's DAF, where we say they must do a self-assessment of where the department are on the key controls. When we go to the commitments, monitor compliance of policies and procedures to take decisive action on non-compliance, DAF, OEP and ARC must make the commitments there. Monitoring of bad planning by entities resulting in an increase in non-compliance with PMI trading regulations as the department, the ARC and NEGA Farms. Identify and monitor strengths and weaknesses of the portfolio sustainability. That's for the department, honest to poor, and ARC. Develop checks and balances to ensure credibility of information. That's for DAF, the ARC, and NEGA Farms. Monthly financial and performance reports that include disclosure notes. That's for the department, the ARC, and NEGA Farms. On the monthly financial statements and performance reports, if the department and entities can, on a monthly basis, do a full set of financials with all the disclosures, I think by the end of the financial year, there won't be that many problems, and they should not have material adjustments to the financial statements. And we have already discussed with the department as well, and they already on a quarterly basis do full financials with the disclosure notes. And with our interim audit, we will then audit specifically on the issues of the disclosure notes where the material adjustments for the department is coming from, so that we can in the interim audit already indicate the red flags to the department. In line with best practices, update supply chain management policies to ensure that approval of requests to deviate from normal supply chain management process by the accounting authority of officer is based on recommendations by the bid adjudication committee based on their evaluation of the submission for such a request. And that's all where we got from DAF, OBP and ARC, where there's supply chain management issues. Effective utilization of internal audit. Review internal audit scope to include adequate coverage of OBO and compliance in their plans. That's for the department, OBP and ARC. Previously, for internal audit for the departments as such, they never looked at performance information as part of their audit plan. And we've discussed it with them and said that it's part of their responsibility to make sure that the IOPO complies with all the rules and all the regulations, so they will take up it in their plan for the current year. And then training programs to incorporate understanding of why financial statements are prepared, operation management processes, example, analysis of financial performance, understanding of why key controls are essential, understanding of why service delivery reporting is critical, continuous professional and skills development for all staff and monitoring thereof, and that's in the department and OBP. And then quarterly reinforcement of clean administration processes by the accounting officer, and that's for the department and OBP. The next one is the key focus areas. For the department, supply chain management, there's no improvement, performance for information, no improvement. HR, there's some improvement. IT controls, there was no improvement. And material errors to the financial statements, there's no improvement. OBP, for supply chain management, there's some improvement. Performance information, there was no improvement. HR, some improvement. IT controls, no improvement. Material areas, some improvement. NMC was no better on all the categories there. The ARC for supply chain management was a regression. AOP was no matters. HR is a regression. IT controls, no improvement. Material areas, no improvement. PPECB for all the categories is no matters was reported. Mega Farms, supply management, no matters. Performance information, no improvement. HR, no matters. IT control, no matters. And material errors to the financial statements, no matters. On the MLRF, supply chain is no matters. Performance information also no matters. HR, IT control, there's no improvement. And material errors to the financial statements is no matters. When we get to irregular expenditure for the entities, for the department, from the previous year for 1 million to this year is 34.7 million. Fruitless and wasteful is 3,000 the previous year, this year is 15,000. OBP is 7.9 million, this year is 11.9 million. Fruitless and wasteful is 94,631, and 11-12 is 474,187. NAMC, there was nothing. ARC, irregular expenditure, previous year is 2.32 million, and this year is 1,020,000. Fruitless and wasteful for the current year, 8,632, nothing the previous year. And PPECB was nothing on irregular and fruitless. Mega Farms also nothing on irregular and fruitless. And Marine Life as well, none on that. It's just on fruitless and wasteful, 8,000 rand.
I just want to highlight the fact that on CPECB and NAMC, that's an example of two audit outcomes that we talk about. And ARC, although they have, they're almost there, their only issue of material adjustments to the financial statement. I need to, however, mention that for the ARC, we experienced quite a big management report. With
small issues that could result in these issues at the end.
So what we have agreed with them is that they need to put in place processes to make sure that they correct all these small issues that have been identified through the audit, to make sure that they actually have a cleaner administration. So it looks a bit untidy that they have quite a thick management report, yet their audit outcomes come, you know, it's clean. But it's really small little issues, but it doesn't speak well. I want to then comment slightly on the Marine Living Resource Fund with regard to irregular expenditure specifically. You will notice, Chair, that we have reported no findings on irregular expenditure. Yet there is a report that came out and that said that there is quite a huge irregular expenditure on Marine Living Resource Fund. Unfortunately, our colleagues from the Western Cape couldn't join us today because they would be in a better position to explain with regard to the audit outcomes what went on there. But if I may just try to go into the audit process for auditing supply chain. We have procedures that address the audit process and assist us in identifying irregular expenditure. However, we need to understand that these procedures are not investigative in their nature. If you do an investigation, you obviously go deeper into the documents to scrutinize each and every document to find out what went wrong, which is not what an audit process would normally would have identified. I haven't read the detail of the report that went out on Marine Living Resource Fund, but I was involved in the current year on quite a huge contract where we involved specialists in supply chain, where we involved some of the investigation team to assist us in identifying things that with a normal audit procedures we wouldn't have identified. And unfortunately, when we go through the audit process, this is not normally something that you would identify. My suggestion, however, is that perhaps during the next portfolio committee meeting that I invite my colleagues from the Western Cape who will be in a position to then address the concerns of the portfolio committee around Marine Living Resource Fund, because I honestly do not have the details other than what they have presented to me to present to the portfolio committee at this present moment. moving forward to the slide, Chair, if you look at the slide, this slide is what we call the pyramid of accountability. And we are saying this is what will assist.
Sorry, did you invite them?
Yes, Chair, but it was at last notice and they said they were not available because they are quite busy with the MSMA report. So they couldn't make it. The pyramid of accountability talks to the flow of credibility of information. You'd recall that we said that there are five focus areas that we look into, and one of them is credibility of information. That triangle, Chair, if you look at it, it has three layers. The bottom layer, the middle layer, and the upper layer. And in the bottom layer, we have three cubicles there that we call the first layer of defense for any organization. And what we're saying is that if an organization recruits and has skilled and competent personnel with ethical behavior and who have integrity, and the organization has effective internal controls that support the policies and procedures that an organization has. And every person in the entity or in the department has an understanding of the requirements and the cause and effect of their action. That is a basis for a solid human resource within any organization, and it will support this whole pyramid. If you look at the pyramid the way it is, if you remove those three triangles there, the whole pyramid collapses. And we are saying these bottom triangles, they support daily, weekly, monthly financial performance and discipline, monthly reporting on financial and performance, and also compliance with rules and regulations. Because if you have people that have skills and competencies that are ethical and have integrity and have policies, automatically they will then perform all these duties that is required of them. And in the second layer, we are saying if you have an accountable leadership that doesn't shift the blame, that takes responsibility and takes action as well, and you have an internal, a competent and effective internal audit, these two, they will support an effective audit committee. And as a result, the information that flows to Parliament, that flows to the executives, to portfolio committees, will be credible information. Basically, that is what this slide is saying. And in support of that, as I have said earlier, if you look at performance information, for instance, if we have competent people in performance information, if we have competent people in the finance unit, you will then have people that are able to link the service delivery, the targets, to the budget, and they will know when they don't have sufficient budget to support their performance information, how do they then adjust, how do they then support their non-achievement of these targets that they have set for themselves. So that is basically what we are saying. And again, if you have these competent people, they will then on a monthly basis prepare complete and credible financial statements, which will result in complete and credible information being presented to the portfolio committees and presented for audit as well. If you look at the amount of material adjustments to both financials and performance information, because you do find where performance information submitted for audit is adjusted, it is clear that information that is submitted to the portfolio committees on a quarterly basis is not credible, because at the end it changes again. So that's basically what it means. And we are saying that there should be accountability and responsibility at all three levels to make sure that people are held accountable and nobody points a finger at anybody else. And if you go to the final slide, Chair, this just talks to the combined assurance model. It actually supports the previous slide. However, it talks about the participation of every level in terms of assuring credible information. And if you look at the first block, it's management assurance, and we are saying management has the first level of assurance. So that is where the first level of assurance comes from. If you have competent senior management teams that carry out their responsibilities, monitoring and evaluation, sign-off, checks and balances done, accounting officer or accounting authorities that are accountable, and the executive authority that is also accountable. And the second level of assurance is the oversight assurance level. We talk about coordinating and monitoring institutions, and we talk about internal audit and audit committees. So these levels, they need to have a process where they get assurance from management that what management is producing is credible, is reliable, and is complete. And we have the independent assurance level, which is the oversight committees, portfolio committees and council, public accounts committees, and external audit. So what we're saying is, if everybody in this model plays their role effectively, we will then have an effective public service that delivers services as required, that is accountable in terms of finances and performance information accordingly. And that brings me to the end of our presentation, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Mrs. Kao. I was also alerting her that there is another entity that we take an interest in, which will also appreciate such a pressing on, which is a land bank. We had made an inquiry, and it turns out that the Committee on Finance, they don't have them prioritized to come to Parliament. So that's one other area that we are following up on. I guess this information comes in handy so that it assists us in the process both of our oversight visit to NCEH farms and also when we have land bank coming through to us. So that assists us. Obviously, there were issues raised during the submission by the department. And I guess those are issues that we are now coming to grasp with related to, you know, targets being met or not, and the variances or the percentages thereof. I'm debating in my own little mind here as to how best we really make use of this information. Members, when they contribute, if they could also make suggestions in that regard, because we have heard the department and also entities coming through to Parliament. This work has been done already. The question that one is asking is, you know, obviously going forward, you know, whenever we are going to have, you know, annual reports, which is going to be effectively next year, but what do you do in the interim? And perhaps when you receive a quarterly report, I think these are some of the things also that might assist us going forward. I just thought let me make those few remarks as we thank you for information. Okay, Mr. Van Dalen, you couldn't wait.
No, I think it's quite important that I raise this issue. You know, the revelation that Ms. Nkau had made is quite material.
Ms. Nkau, Mrs. Nkau.
Nkau, Ms. Nkau.
Nkau, not Ninkau.
Nkau.
Nkau,
yes. It's quite material, it's quite a material finding, and it's quite a revelation. I mean, the minister already in the 22nd of March made public announcements that there was widespread corruption in the Marine Living Resource Fund and that gangs have infiltrated and everything else. And then she has raised the issue that the contract, when the contract was cancelled with Sekunjalu, that the contract might have been irregularly appointed since 1999. The report has only now come to light, but it seems like you were either deceived or lied to by the department, otherwise I could only see that you would get to another finding. I mean, I can't see you getting to the same finding if you had all the information. And so I have a recommendation to make, and like we did with SA Express last year, you withdraw your opinion and you come back with a proper opinion, not this one, and to say, well, you know, we made this opinion and now it's already been done. I mean, nothing is done until it's finished. We want to give you ample time or the opportunity to come to a different opinion. And I think it would be wrong to pass a opinion like this as a committee. We can't close our eyes to say that, you know, it's an unqualified report, and yet there are material matters that are still outstanding and that you've only now picked up. I don't think, you know, the media was full of all of this, and why didn't you pick it up then, or why did you not delve a little deeper into it at the time? So I would suggest that. Then there is the other point on point 14, on page 14. It says other matters and irregular expenditure. You glance over it quite quickly. It's on the debt, and it's 34.75 million rand irregular expenditure. It's quite a huge amount. I don't know why you went for the smaller amounts. You spoke longer about it. I would like to know what that 34 million rand of irregular expenditure went for. To me, it's quite big, you know, and yet you neglected to tell us what it is, although you told us all the small amounts. So those are my two questions, and I would ask for the committee's the support in sending this back so that they can reevaluate their opinion, given this revelation and the information they have now. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mama, you respond? Noted, Mrs. Sweetie.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you very much for this information. Maybe, what can I put it? How can I put it? I don't know. Too much about auditing. But my surprise is when I see the unqualified in most areas of the entities, and including DAF. Whereas, maybe for example, on page 11, is where you see that DAF, ARC, and NERSAM, they don't follow the PFNA. Mm. And again on page 40, I don't understand really. These are, according to me, when I see all these things, I said, but it should be not unqualified, it should be qualified, because there are this irregular expenditure and the fruitless and wasteful. But still the audit there is clean. You know, there I don't understand what does that mean. And really I'm a little bit confused or when you explain, when you say clean audit, what do you mean? But when we practically, when what we see here, I don't understand. My last question is that maybe, for example, in the Department of DAF, can the unfilling of vacant posts be part of the irregular expenditure or the fruitless, the unfilling of posts can cause that? It's just a question. I just want to find out, because there are so many vacant posts there, or acting even vacant. I just want to find out that that can also be the problem. I will come back later.
Mrs. T, followed by Mr. Abram.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, my question was partly covered by my colleague, Chair, and I think that brings me to Honourable Van Dalen's question. You know, we see the reports we read, we see here, and I want to read from the Auditor General's report here, where they say verifying and storing information addressing the systems and processes for identifying, collecting whatever is not properly maintained. I was unable to sufficiently appropriate audit evidence to satisfy myself as to the validity, accuracy and completeness of the actual performances. If we read and see things like this, Chairperson, it also brings a question to my mind. What are we auditing? What are we reporting on? Are we reporting on the 99% funds spent? You know, we can see we spend that money. Is that what we're reporting on? I think we need to get clarity, Chair. I'm also confused. Because if you have non-compliance, you have targets not achieved, you have targets that doesn't even make sense, you have reports of corruption and findings and things, and you get an unqualified opinion. What are we reporting on? I think, Chair, we must get clarity on this, because I agree. I even looked at this page 13, key focus areas. If you look at DAF, supply chain management, no improvement, performance information, no improvement. Chair, I think we need to get that, Chair. And then I just wanted to ask also on the on this 34 million, and there was something, and I just can't get it, on the report of the accounting officer under investigations. They said here the investigations in respect of irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure were reported in 2010-11 and are reflected in the disclosure note 26. The follow-up of the findings is still in process. Do we have any complete processes in the Department of any investigations that were done? Because this comes from 2010-11 report. And I saw on page where they used, there was something coming back from 2011. It was oorgedra to 2012, carried over. Chair, so I think we need to get more information on this investigations. It's page 129 and 130, where they speak about irregular expenditure, and it says there non-compliance, other disciplinary steps. It says none to be taken, none to be investigated, none to be taken. How long does it take? And Chair, unfortunately, I didn't bring it with me, but I remember I asked a question to the minister in the beginning of the year, a written question regarding disciplinary steps in the department, and there was no disciplinary steps. Or no one. I can remember, because it was funny to me that you have a department and in the whole year there was no disciplinary action taken against any staff. And then you get an annual report that says here they were irregular and there's disciplinary action and this is, and it's been carried over from the previous year. So where are we moving to, Chair? Maybe the office can assist us with where we need to look and find and ask.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to thank the AG's office for the manner in which this presentation was made. It's a very graphic presentation, and we have a spreadsheet here which tells us exactly what is wrong and how and what. I want to congratulate them. Secondly, Chair, I want to make it very clear that I personally hold the AG's office in very high regard, that they have always maintained a high standard, and I pray that they carry on. Chairperson, you see, if you look at this pyramid, the pyramid makes it very clear. It talks here of accountable and transparent government. I just want to take us back, Chair. 2009, when this committee, the current committee, was put together, we hardly had the DG at that time, Mrs. Njabulo Nduli. We hardly saw her. never appeared before us. From the word go, she was suspended. And thereafter, Chairperson, in a matter of 3 years, up to June this year, we have had no fewer than 6 Directors General, albeit 4 of them were acting. Now, Chairperson, you cannot expect outcomes when the leadership of a department is in a constant state of flux. And at that time, we ask questions, and I think the AG's office will agree that in terms of, I think, Section 55 of the Constitution, we are actually Parliament, a committee of Parliament. And the task of this committee of Parliament is to hold both the department as well as the executive to account. And we ask questions, I particularly ask questions about what happened to the DG that I would say was inherited from the previous administration to the new one. And what we were told is that she was suspended. I think it is the right of this committee to know why an official has been suspended and whether there's been any disciplinary hearings and what was the outcome of that hearing. When you asked it, what response did you get? No, she has taken a package, a settlement or whatever, and she's gone. Up to now, Chair, nobody knows why. Subsequently, you had a plethora of officials, senior people, very skilled people, that acted. And if I cast my mind around, you have at least 3 or 4 of them that have gone into other departments and either posted overseas to some mission there, and there you are. Same applies, Chairperson, where we asked the department last week to tell us, give us certain information. We were promised, sorry Chair, but I need to put this on record. I need to put it on record. We were told, fine, we cannot tell you anything about the current, well, he's no more current, the DG that was suspended in June. We can't tell you anything. Matter is being settled somewhere. Can't tell you. And when we insisted, said, fine, we'll give you something in writing tomorrow, which was on Wednesday. And what did we get, Chair? That document is not worth one pager, I think. The document is not worth the paper. I mean, what is written there is not worth the paper it's written on. What I'm trying to say, Chairperson, is that a department without fear or favor, our duty is to seek clarity and answers. And I can show you a number of issues which we take up with the department. I mean, the acting DG, I believe, is going to be another failure. I'm making a prediction, and it's going to happen. When I asked him that there is 17 million rand spent on foreign travel, I want full details. There's so many million wasted in whatever expenditure. Full details. Comes back the following morning. What sort of reply did we get? A little piece like this, so-and-so travel agency or whatever, 15 million or 3 million or 2 million or whatever. I said I want full details. And the response when I repeated was that, no, but I don't understand what you mean by full details. Does it mean that we must tell you that we went to such and such a conference and these were the things discussed there and all that? The topic, Chairperson, is foreign travel. Tell us, give us full details. Where did you go? Whom did you take? And all that. Chairperson, I want to accuse ourselves. We are allowing these departments and some of the entities to virtually you know, they put a what's the name, they blindfold us. And Chairperson, unfortunately, the sector out there is struggling, it is suffering. There are organizations that are important in the field of agriculture who cannot access the department. Now, unfortunately, those are not the issues that you expect the AG's office to tell you about. But from the way that the department responds to us, when they come here and they put up those beautiful slides, and when you question them in depth, they virtually take you like a bunch of chavis. And for as long as we don't go according to this pyramid check and keep them absolutely accountable, I'm afraid, you know, in less than 18 months from now, if I take the fact that the last election was in April, in less than 18 months, Chair, there will be an election. Or 18 months from now, there will be an election. And Chairperson, we will not be able to show what would our legacy report be? Because you take the department, it is in total shambles. And I've gone to the question of the various DGs, because it's human beings, not these machines and modern technology that does the job. There must be a human being behind it to feed it. And if those human beings, Chairperson, on the one hand, when you take the rapid turnover of senior, experienced, skilled officials in the department, you are going to get worse findings from the AG's office than what you have now. Because nobody has security of tenure. I mean, take ourselves as human beings. If we're not sure of something, we're not going to put in our best. So, Chairperson, I just want to ask, Chairperson, that we need to ask the department to respond to these graphs that the AG's office has put before us. And they must respond to us in writing, and not a stupid response like the matter is being attended to, or that sort of thing. Tell us in depth, why have these things gone wrong? Because if we don't do that, Chairperson, we are not going to be able to take this department forward. Mm-hmm. And remember, Chair, irrespective of who says what has happened in our country over the last couple of weeks, us being downgraded, all the other issues attendant to that, the statement by the governor of the Reserve Bank last week, these are all issues that impact on the entire economy, of which agriculture is, to my mind, the most noble one and the most important one. Then, Chairperson, you have asked that I think it is a suggestion from the AG's office that we should have the department present a quarterly report. A Chairperson presenting a quarterly report and interrogating it without fear or favor is two different things. So it's fine to have a document in front of us and then telling us things on the screen. But, Chairperson, I'm unfortunately conditioned over the years in such a way that whenever a departmental official stands up and says something, I always ask myself, is there something behind what this person has said that the person is not telling us? Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening all the time, Chair. So it's our duty as a committee to see that we represent our country and our government and our parliament in such a manner that we get people to work optimally. Otherwise, haka gierka, that's what's going to happen. Chairperson, regarding the land bank, yes, although the land bank now resorts under the treasury, it carries out an agricultural function. And my understanding of the rules of parliament and section 55, I think 2 of the constitution, is that as a parliamentary, as parliament, we have the right to call on any department that we believe, for example, if we've got a problem regarding, which we do have, regarding stock theft. It's an agricultural function where stock is being stolen. On the other hand, it's a function of the police to police these issues. We have the right to call them here. And therefore, Chairperson, again, we must cut out this leniency where a entity tells you that, no, look, I can't come to you, you must ask Treasury or whatever. I believe we have a right. Yes, courtesy counts, that we tell the Standing Committee on Finance or whoever that we are asking these people to present to us. But Chairperson, with regard to the land bank, I just want to say this much, and that is that I was, Mr. Steyn was there 2 hours at the Agri South Africa conference, and I was overjoyed and thrilled to hear the Minister of Agriculture announcing that the rates at the Department of at the Land Bank are now going to be lowered to -5 under prime. I was overjoyed. But then, tongue in cheek, when I asked the question there, I told the gentleman from the Land Bank that I hope it is -5. And that it is not -5. Finally, Chairperson, if I look at some of the problems that we have here, it again, Chairperson, comes down to the fact that the department comes here, they give us beautiful strat plans, and they are unable to implement. And what we need to do now, Chairperson, is we need to ask the department that, fine, you have come with all sorts of excuses last week, but we want to know from you that you have spent 99% of the budget, and your performance in terms of the targets that you had set, and Mrs. Nkau just said now earlier that these are targets and plans that the department sets in terms of the budget that they've got, and yet they hopelessly underperform. We have less than 20% of those targets met, yet the entire budget virtually has been spent. So, Chairperson, when an argument comes up that we need to increase the agriculture budgets, my argument is, fine, we can give you as much money as you want. Problem is, you are not performing. I mean, if you can only perform less than 20%, why must I fight for you to get a bigger budget? And, Chairperson, we need to address very seriously this instability in the department as a portfolio committee. We have everything to do with it because we are seeing delivery hopelessly being compromised. Thank you very much.
Thanks, members. For record, Mr. Abram, on the question you've raised before, in this page, it gives us some information. Granted, it's not assisting us much. Of the total number of planned targets, only 43 targets were achieved during the year under review. This represents 51%.
of the total plan targets that were not achieved on that minus 20%. I think this gives us some indication going forward. Granted, we're not necessarily impressed with the first 49% only of those that we planned were achieved. So that's what this... the one major issue, Office of the Auditor General, that I have in mind that really bothers me. We are said here that we need to hold the executive to account. As to what does that exactly mean? I'm asking myself a question. Whose responsibility is it in the event where there is a qualified report, there is a disclaimer, there are all sorts of reports like those? Whose responsibility does it get to be to say, accounting officer, you have messed up, here is evidence, scientific evidence, that you had a disclaimer under your watch, you had a qualified report under your watch, not only on 1 year, but it continues to an extent that you're also going to have an irregular expenditure and a wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Whose responsibility does it get to be to say, now it's enough? We don't hire. Now, the question I'm asking is, you have somebody hiring. You have somebody expected to fire. But our responsibility here, related to a question I'm asking, holding the executive to account, exactly what does that mean in relation to us being frustrated in saying, yeah, but we are not happy. We are not happy year two. We are not happy year three.
Thank you, Chair. I'll do my best to answer the questions posed to me to the best of my ability. And Chair, I would like to start with the explanation on the qualifications, the unqualifications, the disclaimers, because I believe that it touches on every answer that I'm going to give going forward. So that explanation is quite critical. Chair, I've indicated that in the audit report we focus on three areas. We focus on financial statements, we focus on performance information, and we focus on compliance with laws and regulations. On financial statements, we issue an opinion. So when we say an audit report is qualified, we are talking purely of the financial statement. Qualified, unqualified, disclaimer, or adverse, we're talking to the financial statement. When it comes to performance information, the opinions are only stated in the management report, and I think for the purposes of the portfolio committee, so that the portfolio committee has an idea of what it means, we have indicated whether the findings that are included in the audit report would have, had we expressed an opinion in the audit report, would it have been a qualified, unqualified disclaimer or an adverse opinion. When it comes to compliance with rules and regulations, we only state the factual findings. Now, the question was asked, if you look at the five areas that we are focusing on. Supply chain, human resource, IT, material statements, and performance information. The slide that was referred to, you see that it is all red. I think that was, or it's mostly red. It's slide 13. And in terms of the improvements and regressions, there are generally fewer improvements than no changes or regressions. Yet, we see that most of the departments get unqualified financial audit opinions. What we report on as the Auditor General, if the financial statements are materially misstated, then we would issue a modified report which would be qualified, disclaimer, or adverse. Now, what we are saying is through material misstatements, adjustments are made to the financial statements. Entities submit financial statements for audit in May. We audit. We identify material misstatements. They correct these material misstatements in the financials, and as a result, they then submit revised financial statements, which fairly state and which will then result in unqualified opinions. And the same applies to performance information. They correct the material misstatements identified on performance information. They restate the performance information and they submit corrected performance information, which means the performance information is fairly stated. Now, on performance information, we look at two areas. We look at the usefulness of the targets and indicators, and the usefulness of the targets and indicators talk to whether the indicators and targets are specific, are measurable, are achievable, are time-bound. These are the SMART principles that we look at. And then we look at reliability of information. Whether information that was submitted, performance information that was reported on, is complete, is accurate, and is reliable. That's what we look at. So if we say that we are not able to report on the usefulness of the target, it means they did not meet the SMART principles. They were not smart. And if we say we are not able to report on reliability of information, it means the information was not complete or accurate or reliable. That's what it means. And when we say that an entity has an unqualified audit report, financially they are clean, they might have had material adjustments, but they are clean. And we say with findings, it means they have findings on performance information, and these findings are material enough to be reported in the audit report. And they have findings on compliance with rules and regulations. So, we are saying that if they have findings in these two areas we have identified as impediments to achievement of clean audit outcomes. So they are not clean, so there is need for urgent intervention, because there's a government initiative to achieve clean audit outcomes by 2014. If urgent attention is not given, they will not achieve clean audit outcomes. That now brings me to the issue of accountability. And if I go back to the pyramid of accountability that we have presented, and also the combined assurance model that we talk about, every level that we have identified has responsibilities and accountability. Now, if we talk about who must be held accountable, and perhaps the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what does accountability mean? What is the meaning of accountability?
In a simplistic manner, I think accountability is where every individual knows and understands their contribution in an environment that they are in. They carry out their responsibilities with due care, with integrity, and with ethics. And when you are accountable is when you are able to look back and say, that which I have done makes me proud, and I can sleep at night. That is accountability. In its simplistic way, that's what it means to me, at least. Now, if I'm accountable, I will be, as an accounting officer, I will be able to go to the minister and say, Minister, I have budgeted to achieve 10 targets. However, the budget that was allocated was only sufficient for me to meet 5. In my planning process, I did not consider the limitations that I have, and I did not adjust. I take full responsibility of this. This is how I have, or this is how I am going to act for me to rectify the situation, to make sure that in the following year, in the following month, I am able to achieve what I have set to achieve. Or, Minister, when I budgeted for 10 bottles at a cost of 2 rand, based on this knowledge that I have. However, when I went on tender, the tender said, this bottle will cost me 5 rand. And that's what I went with. I did not take this due care when I procured, because market-related price for this bottle is 2 rand, yet I settled for 5 rand. So I did not practice due care. That is accountability. And therefore, here are the actions that I am going to put in place to make sure that when we plan, we include procurement as well. We know what we have budgeted for, and when we procure, we will not settle for a price that is more than what we have budgeted for, because we know we can get the product at that lesser price. So for me, that is accountability. And where does accountability end? The accounting officer or accounting authority has people in there. Organization that report to them. We talk about HR issues that are so critical in this whole process, and hence it's the first level of defense that we have. So the leadership in any organization should be in a position to hold every individual accountable for their action and for the outcome, because it contributes to the overall achievement of the outcomes of the organization. So the accounting officer should manage performance of each and every individual. The executive should manage the performance of the accounting officers. As to who manages the performance of the executive authority, I will leave that to the portfolio committee. I would not want to comment on that, but I believe that the portfolio committees, they have roles and responsibilities as well. That is why we capacitate the portfolio committees to be in a position to hold departments and executives accountable for the outcomes of their own departments. The outcomes of the departments, we believe, is the responsibility of the minister. Hence, we have increased our interactions with the ministers as well, so that the ministers know what is going on in the department, in their own departments, for them to be able to take action. There are issues that require ministers' interventions, that require parliamentary interventions, and I believe that our interactions with parliament and the ministers is to highlight these red flags, so that every oversight organization or institution must be able to support in the way that they need to. Going back to the specific questions, Chairperson, having said that, it is unfortunate, yes, and again, I apologize that we didn't bring the land bank here.
since it moved to National Treasury, we thought it was reported under National Treasury going forward, and in our quarterly interactions, I will certainly make sure that I include the report of the Land Bank. My colleague that is responsible for the Land Bank is with another portfolio committee, and he is not able to assist me with the information that relates to the Land Bank, otherwise I will present it here. The next time I'm invited to the portfolio committee, I will definitely bring that presentation, and hopefully it will be before the Land Bank is called to the portfolio committee. And I've spoken about the accountability and where the portfolio committee fits in. I will leave the Marine Resource Fund issue for later. With regard to the regular expenditure, the 34 million regular expenditure on DEF, I believe the 32.6 million of the 34 million relates to one contract where the SDG at the time approved a contract in a regular manner. And now let's go back to shall I give you the name of the contract?
Yeah.
Continue, we will have that in writing. Continue.
Now that now I want to relate with the continuous investigations on irregular expenditure at the department. I think over the years we've had issues of irregular expenditure at the department, and in terms of the national treasury regulation, every reported case of irregular expenditure must be investigated on, and there must be a report, and if need be, there should be action taken against those people. And when irregular expenditure is reported on, the department must disclose in its financial statement how the irregular expenditure came about and what the department is doing about that irregular expenditure. And obviously progress must be reported on throughout the year. And I do agree that investigations on issues of irregular expenditure within the department are outstanding for a long time. And that is what we have reported to.
Maybe as you continue, if you could just also respond very quickly, at what point do matters of this nature get referred to SCOPA? As you continue.
Thank you, Chair. These investigations have been outstanding for a long time, and in fact, during last year, there were questions on whether we shouldn't indicate age the investigations in the department and report these in the audit report. However, as we have said, Chair, when we brief the SCOPA, we do give them details of all these investigations that are outstanding. But then you'd recall that the briefing to SCOPA, they get an overall briefing, and when they call individual departments to SCOPA to account, we then give an individual briefing to SCOPA, and we will then indicate how long these investigations have been carried over. If you go to our audit report, the paragraph under investigations in the audit report, we will say these are still in progress, and it's a cut and paste essentially from the previous year. And yes, the unstable leadership at the department is a serious of concern, especially with regard to the DG level. You'd also notice that in its report, the audit committee has indicated that they have serious challenges in having meetings with the DG. We have had similar challenges as well in meeting the DG, and mainly because that level has been unstable and the DGs in the department are generally not available to meet
We meet with the CFO on a regular basis, but we have struggled to meet with the DGs within the department. Filling of vacant posts. There was a question whether filling of vacant posts can result in regular expenditure. The answer is yes. If filling of vacant posts or unfilling of vacant posts was done in contravention with the rules and regulations, it might result in irregular expenditure. Let me give you an example and correct me if I'm wrong. If an individual is acting for a longer period than legislated and there is no proper authorization thereof, it would result in irregular expenditure. So yes, it can result in irregular expenditure. There was a question on what action should the portfolio take with regard to all irregular expenditure that is continuing at the department. I think I have covered that under the accountability model, what I have just said now. And then if I go back to the Marine Living Resource Fund, Chair, Chairperson, can I request that we invite the team from the Western Cape to brief the committee specifically on the Marine Living Resource Fund? I believe that the Office of the Auditor General carries out its audits without any favor, and if there were limitations in terms of what we audited, it would have been reported in the audit report. Our audits go through quality reviews internally and externally as well, and I have no doubt that the team exercised due care when they audited the Marine Living Resource Fund. If you go to the audit report again of Marine Living Resource Fund, there is a paragraph that says that there are investigations ongoing or investigations in progress at the Marine Living Resources relating to this specific issue. Normally what we do when we go through an audit, we obviously would extend our audit when auditing an area, the high-risk area. And if we could not find anything, and there is an investigation, if we could not find anything in terms of our procedures, we then refer to the investigation because there would be an investigation going on. And I think, having not read the details of the report, I am unable to comment. But my request is that can I at the permission of the chairperson, arrange that our team brief the portfolio committee on Marine Living Resources specifically. Thank you.
Members, that's the response to a number of questions raised, which adds to another challenge. Tomorrow, as part of our program, we're expected to go through the draft RRR report. We have two entities here. One is NAHA, another one is the Marine Living Resource Fund. Granted, we did receive the submission from Marine Living Resource Fund. However, it would have really assisted us, because this entire exercise does assist us as we go forward with our report. You can have one meeting, Mr. Fondana.
Then I, this on the point of clarity.
But can we have one meeting?
Yes. I was just checking by my colleague if what you were saying was correct. To me, the Mary Living Visual Fund is not coming tomorrow.
It's not, but we have heard it.
Yes, but you said they were coming to him tomorrow.
I did not say. I'm saying we are expected to go through the draft report tomorrow.
Yes.
That's what I was saying. I am saying it would have made more sense if we were to have had the same briefing that we're getting now on Marine Living Resource Fund, because they are the ones who are doing the actual audit. Now, that does not capacitate us more. That's the point I'm raising. Now, included in that is also NAHA Farm, where we did not even entertain them. A question that we raised earlier on about the legal implications. Perhaps Noxola might wish to assist us in that regard. We had asked you to check with our legal fundis in Parliament here. Did you do anything in that regard for NAHA and the implications?
Morning, Chairperson and member, and the office from the AG. I didn't necessarily ask the... In fact, I just want clarity first on the Chairperson. What do you mean by legal implications? To whom? To the entity, to the department, or...?
To the whole process that we are involved in as Parliament.
There are no legal implications, Chairperson, to the committee in this respect. But what is clear from... I don't necessarily have to go through the background of NAHA or why the committee was chased... Sorry, or why the entity was not allowed to give the committee a briefing on their annual report. But the bottom line is that the department is responsible to do oversight on their committee, on their entities, and it is also the department that has released funds. So I think in this respect, the people who are supposed to really give clarity on the issue is the department, maybe also the National Treasurer. How did they release funding for NAHA Farms when there was no strategic plan for the year, or even an annual performance plan? The committee can still go ahead with its report on the annual report or even the BRRR, but they have to flag out those issues. They have to decide how they go ahead with the issue.
The question I'm asking here is, if you were to have a department, for argument's sake, coming to Parliament to submit its report, annual report, and then we reject that, what are the implications of such? In this instance, we're dealing with the league, with an entity. If we were to take it to a department, am I clear?
Yes,
Mr. Stein?
Chairperson, I think you are making yourself clear, but I think what is not coming out is that the department is responsible for the entity. They gave the money directly to the entities. So in my understanding, it's another failure of the department, because they were supposed to make sure that this entity have a business plan before they gave them the money. They then gave them the money without even having the assurance of a business plan from the entity. We can't fault the entity. I would also say, yes, give me money if I, you know, don't even have to comply to something. So I want to agree that we must keep the department responsible, or hold the department responsible for not doing it. Maybe the Auditor General's office can assist this, because in my mind, next year this must come actually as a fruitful or wasteful or irregular expenditure or one of these things that How can they even give them funding without even having a business plan? That's how I see it, and I think this is the way that we must treat it.
Okay. We are now 11:30. We have covered the ground that was expected of us. The AG's office has assisted us in terms of understanding exactly what the issues are. Yesterday, we had a very broad understanding of the BRRR being presented and the discussion ensued. So today we're dealing with the specifics in that, actually we're giving meat into that BRRR process. So we then assist us towards coming up with the actual report that is expected of us. We still want to engage. She had indicated that she would wish to be excused.
More overtime.
I'll say that tomorrow.
Are we fine?
Let me just ask one question.
Uh-huh. Very good.
It was just as a follow-up on the first one, is that if you had known all the information that you know now, would you have come to a different decision? I would like to know that. Would that materially affect your opinion on this annual report? Thank you.
A quick one, Mrs. Ngong.
I must say, unfortunately, I do not have the facts on this specific one. And I wouldn't know what the team would have done and what they knew. I'm honestly unable to comment. Can we get the team on board? I'll arrange that at the earliest convenience.
Let's thank you, Mrs. Kao, for your assistance and also your enlightening of the presentation on a very important subject, especially the cycle that we are involved in. I think we are getting more and more empowered, and also our own role and responsibilities are getting more and more enhanced with such exercises. Let's thank you for that, and we do not keep you for another minute, and then we can just remain and then see how best we take the process forward ourselves. Thanks for your time and thanks to your team as well. If it is possible, I don't know whether you will be able to get us the land bank information beforehand, so that of course, you know, accordingly we are setting time with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, here we are. The issues are very straightforward. We have a responsibility tomorrow to look at the draft. Did we all receive the documents? I saw some of them online being posted by the researcher. Are those all hard copies? That we are finishing a bit earlier, I think that will also give us a bit of time for us to go through those documents in preparation for tomorrow. Is there anything else? Mama?
No, it's not Chairperson, it's not
really it's just my concern about the department. It's like we are not winning. Our time is coming to an end very soon. Really, we will not have any legacy from. But I'm not saying as a committee we haven't done what we should. But I'm saying we are not willing to get the correct thing, or maybe departments waking up according to its mandate. I think we are not winning. Even if you can see this draft on P13, it's only HR, which is some improvement. All these areas, supply chain management, AOP, all of them, no progress. That's why no improvement. That's why I'm saying it's like we are just hitting on a very strong rock. And that rock, the hammer we are having, it can't even, you know, break. It's my concern, Chairperson.
Yes, I want to add to that, and I must stress my frustration here, Chair. My frustration, unfortunately, is with the minister. And I spoke to the minister. I said to her, our job, as I said, is to hold her responsible, because we have oversight over the executive. It's her job to keep the department in line. The fact that we get the department is to find out on processes and on programs. Chair, and I've sent you an email a while ago about questions, because we ask written questions to the minister in parliament, and if we get these one-liners to say program in action, or progress in action, or no or yes or something, and the specific question I asked, Chair, was out of a previous meeting when we asked about information regarding CASP and funding being spent on farms. There's a lot of debate going around about land reform and failure of land on farms. My impression was, when I was sitting on the land reform portfolio, was that the job of agriculture is then to come in and assist these farms then to, or farmers to make progress. If you ask a question to the minister, in how many of these recap farms is the department involved? The answer is it's done on provincial level, and that's the answer. We give money from this body to the department to give to the provinces. I want to know, where is this money spent on? On how many farms is the Department of Agriculture involved? I'm just taking this as an example, Chairperson. It really frustrates us. We cannot move forward. How can we then keep the department responsible if we don't even get these answers? So I think, Chair, it is such just frustration from our side. That's why we don't move.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think that we as a committee cannot be happy with a report like this. I mean, we cannot put a stamp of approval on things, on a department that is not performing. I think it's our duty to do something. What it is exactly we need to do, I don't know. We need to get together and discuss what we need to do to fix the problem. I mean, we would have failed our term in office if we don't do anything. I mean, we can't, and I think that's what all the members are saying, is we're not happy. We can't accept this as good work. You know, if your child goes to school and he fails, you can't say, no, it's good, try again next year, you know, all the time. I mean, life goes on, and he will get to 30 and he will still be trying. You must pressure them and put pressure on them, and they will do better, you know. It's our duty I mean, we get paid for it. We get paid a lot of money for it. And I think we are failing in what we need to do. And I would urge this committee that we can't put our stamp of approval on the BRR, and we should come up with strong recommendations on it. And please think about it tonight, and I mean, you know, maybe that will change something. I mean, I just don't know anymore. I mean, I'm at my wit's end. I mean, except from strangling somebody, I don't know what to do. You know, how do you get sense into somebody to do the right thing? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do not go to those extreme dispensationalizing things. It's a very valid question, that of our responsibility towards conditional grants at provinces. It's a very valid point that we need to. We did attempt to call both CASP and the department nationally, and also provincial head of departments. It was also an attempt to deal with this very question, as to how do we deal with this issue. Here is a national department that disburses conditional grants to provinces. When asked, they always would refer you to the provinces. And then when provinces are expected to come through, it becomes a hassle. And granted, the Constitution does give them, you know, us separation of powers, province, local, national. Easily, a province can simply just tell you, we're not accountable to you. We're accountable to our embassies or our provincial government.
Or
NCOP. Or NCOP. We also did attempt to bring NCOP on board as part of that process. But unfortunately, they were not available. But we had to go ahead with that session. It's a very valid question that we need to. If it does not work, that you, like it happens in housing. I can't remember how it works, but you have some municipalities that are getting their funding directly from national and implement housing delivery programs at municipal level. If it would mean such. So that we cut the red tape from national to where implementation is expected. But those that are to be held accountable continue to be that national department. So that we are to be able to say, how do we get to that project? So that there's no confusion between national and provincial and local, which is what is happening currently. We have such a question that we need to answer ourselves as to how best to deal with such, because it cannot go on like that. And what makes it worse, when they are asked as to how do they measure success stories, because these farmers cannot be imagining forever. The terminology has changed suddenly, because earlier on, you know, emerging farmers, suddenly, you know, smallholder farmers, for me it's neither here nor there. But at some point they need to be big commercial farmers. They need to be emerged commercial farmers. But whether you have any measurement, you know, or measurements, you know, that begin to say, in these 5 years, like they did in Soweto, in Johannesburg municipality. Today, in Soweto, they do not have one street that is not tarred. Today, over 5 million people live there, the township.
There is no one street that is not tarred. They did it, and I asked the mayor there, Amos Masson, at the time, how did it happen? He has a will. 5 years, we did this, another 5 years, concluded the project. If you have to say, you have these 100 farmers, then you are to say, this is the kind of support that they are supposed to be given. You targeting out of those 100, that 20 of them by year 5 end, they must be commercial, fledging. They are out there. They've joined the ranks. They're big in their own right. Now, these are the kind of questions we also must, you know, get hard answers on. Or they need to be practical. We cannot just deal with them, you know, up in the head. I'm not too sure if we really must still ponder on these issues further. The documents are here with us. We're going to have a draft report. Can we have it before we leave today, so that we have time to read overnight, so that when we come back tomorrow here, at least we shall have had some reading to do. Draft. Sorry, Mama. Not yet.
Not to be in the meeting last week, you know, are we going to read all of this, or the, you know, what, which one should we focus? Because, you know, I can't read all of this. But which one should we focus on? That's why I'm talking about not be in the meeting of last week, really. I can see that big loss.
Chairperson, yeah, I think yesterday's meetings gave us a bit of a background on where do we need to focus. So I think if we can at least maybe focus on the four aspects, so that some, I think most cases we have information about the things that we had, like the quarterly reports and those things. We have that. We can just brush it off quickly and see what was the discussions and debate, but the information that we didn't have, like this, unfortunately, the department's, what do you call it, what management reports, we didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can just quickly glance through it and see, but I think I saw Mr. Van Dalen briefing through it. It doesn't look, many documents, but not a lot of information. I'm sure we will go through it. It's not a lot of reading. Chair, I just wanted to make one last comment, Chairperson. And it's when you spoke about the roads in Soweto, I think that is our biggest challenge with this department if we are planning for tomorrow, Chair. If you look at this thing of predetermined objectives and it says adverse opinion, that's where the problem lies. I don't think there's planning. You cannot achieve something if you didn't plan it properly. And I think, Chairperson, that came out also in the targets not achieved, targets not even having a smart, what do you call it, objective from the beginning. You just write something to get out of the back to say to the members, we're going to do this and that, and it reminded me about this whole thing of job creation. We need to interrogate, because one of the main objectives of the department, I think they put it as the number one, is to create jobs. But for the agriculture department to create jobs by draadspan, putting up fencing, if that is a job that they were created, to me, it's not a thing that achieves to agriculture. We must actually interrogate and find out how many of the jobs created is in agriculture, or is it something like draadspannen, wimpompe, opzit, and the things that they are doing.
Full,
you know, we must interrogate, and I want us to think about these things when we go through the reports to see if we find it. Because if we created 500 jobs or 2,000 jobs, where were these jobs, and were they linked to the agricultural thing or linked to all these infrastructural programs that they have? So I think, Chairperson, I would be happy if we can focus on this thing, the predetermined objectives and the compliance of the department, because that is the thing that I think is mostly lacking in the department, because there's not enough thinking on where do we want to be to move with the Department of Agriculture. That's why we don't find too many achievements. It's because we didn't plan enough on what is it that we want to achieve.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, earlier you alluded to a couple of things, and they're all very important. You see, this morning while driving in, I was listening to the radio. And they said that rural development in Limpopo had bought 700 farms. Bulk of them have become dysfunctional. They're now looking at the possibility of recapping and that sort of thing. Now, Chairperson, you know, we don't have a true picture of how agriculture has really progressed, because you have another State Department that's involved. You've also got DTI that does something, and you have other entities that are also involved. So the kind of information that we are getting here, Chair, is that genuine information? That's the first point. Then, Chair, the National Planning Commission. I mean, I must say that it's an excellent document, a very good document. Problem is implementation. How is it going to happen? Now, I'm also concerned, like you, Chairperson, about the fact that it is the National Parliament that appropriates funds for the departments. And from that appropriation, the department goes along and makes a grant to the provinces, because we have a concomitant function carried out by the provinces. Now, let me give you one little example. They're in the Free State. They come along, they decide that they want to spend the province. They want to spend 100 million rand, and they want to put up a massive dairy project, and it's going to work like this, and it's going to work like that, and all sorts of things. Unfortunately, Chairperson, the plans that they have, I don't know who's going to approve it. I think in the province. Money is going to come from national. But national has no oversight function over their expenditure. Now, this is a major disjuncture. You and I in this committee hasn't got the power to change it. But what we can do is to lobby the powers that be, perhaps the Minister of COPTA, or whoever else, the Minister in the Presidency, in charge of monitoring and evaluation. Because I'm telling you today, Chair, you can write it in your diary, that 100 million rand is going to be a pure waste. Because the kind of scheme that they have in mind, Chair, is mind-boggling. It's not going to work. So what concerns one, Chair, is that 100 million could have been utilized more judiciously if you had targeted certain numbers of beneficiaries, and you had walked the road with them, you had a mentorship program for them, then you would have got somewhere.
Yes, yes.
There's another thing that's happening, Chairperson, and that is that the National Department of Rural Development, wherever they bought out farms, Chair, in my district, they bought out several farms, nothing happening there. But the department has decided that it is not going to transfer farms to beneficiaries. People can hire them. Now what happens, I've got some classic cases where they hire a farm in this particular case a 330 hectare farm. That person must pay a rental of 96,000 rand a year. It means 8,000 rand per month. And that farm, the bulk of it, 170 hectares, has been land that used to be plowed. But now this person wants to run livestock. And now the person goes to the lender to try and get a loan to buy livestock. He's got 40 cattle. But 40 cattle, Chair, until thy kingdom comes, he can never pay 96,000 rand a year. So what is happening, Chair, is that, all right, we can argue, yeah, it's got nothing to do with us. It's a rural development that did it. But somewhere we need to get through to rural development. Tell the people that don't set people up for failure. Now, there are cases, Chairperson, where you take your lease with the department and you go now to the land bank. Because you don't own the place. All you have is a lease. And then the land bank does an ITC check on you. They find that this person has got 7 or 8 judgments. It's now jet stores and it's Edgar's and who and who and who. Immediately the person cannot get along. So the result, Chairperson, is at the end of the day, are we doing justice to our people? Are we helping the people correctly? Like this, I can give you umpteen examples, Chair. So what we need, Chair, is perhaps a session with rural development so that we can determine exactly what rural development is doing. The things that we pick up, we can bring to their attention and hope that they can change things. And I can show you a document in black and white, Chair, in black and white from the Department of Rural Development, where they offered to buy a particular farm. And when the owner of the farm said that, fine, I'm willing to sell to you, but I've got 2 or 3 problems. First one is, what will happen to my workers, my farm workers? You know what was the reply, Chair? In black and white, you must find alternatives for your workers. Which means that the department seems to have a standard rule. Whereas it is supposed to take care of the workers, it is saying that the workers can go to the informal settlements and do hell with them. We don't care about them. So in short, Chairperson, there's a plethora of problems that departments are creating for the poor people out there. Now, Chairperson, with regard to the BRRR report, I think it is necessary somewhere along the line, if there is a gap, to highlight this shortcoming that you have mentioned. Because having spoken here, it is not going to have any impact to take it forward. But if it is part of the report, Chair, we can always say that this committee highlighted that funds, and I think it falls within the scope, funds that are made available to provinces, there is no way we can monitor how it's being spent, and it's being paid by the Treasury, and we are supposed to be monitoring it. There's no way of monitoring it. Certain provinces are not carrying out their functions. You know about our poor wool growers. A new MEC comes and just decides, no, I'm not going to allow this sort of thing to be of assistance to the people. So, Chairperson, there are these various problems. But I think with the brains around here, we can craft a paragraph that can encompass these things, even if it's in the form of a footnote, if it does not fall within the scope of a BRRR. But we must have it in some other document, Chair, which goes to the Treasury, which goes to the appropriations people, and it is on record that we have flagged it, we have told them about these things. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Chair.
I think we are on course as we prepare for tomorrow. The issue really, Mr. Steyn was making a point. We have a strat plan. And typically, if you are to receive any or to exercise any oversight on any work done on any previous year, it has to be measured in accordance with your strat plan. And the point is raised here by the Auditor General's office. 49% of the targets is only that has been achieved. And 51% has not been achieved. So that is measured in accordance with your strat plan, which has to be your annual report. This is what we're reporting on. The outputs point us to a different direction. So I think that's our main focus on the report of this nature. And then of course the rest is what we have. I was just trying to locate in this Financial Fiscal Commission report the specific area that deals with agriculture, unless it is covered in one of those other sections. Chapter 1 talks about global economic crisis, unless it is somewhere there. Chapter 2 talks about social assistance, whether you're going to have anything on food security there or not. Effective and efficient transparent intergovernmental fiscal system, which is chapter 3. Chapter 4, which is the last chapter, just talks about intergovernmental financial or fiscal issues in urban public transport. There are set recommendations in this. There is no question about that. But whether we are having any specific areas that deal with agriculture or rural development or a combination of those. Unless we ask them specifically, the FFC, if they have any specific areas that relate to reports and recommendation that relates. Well, this one, submission for division of revenue. I just, you know, browse it through unless it is couched somewhere. The one other point, members, just before we part ways, we have an invite here from the Trading Industry Committee. We just received it, I'm sure. The progress report on IPAP. For the year April to March of this year on the 25th of October. Those of us who can really make it, you know, I'm sure we'll gain a lot. If there is nothing else, members, Nozora?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add something in terms of information. Some members will recall, in fact, some members have told us that they prefer to be sent information on email, which also helps, and it's also faster and environmentally sustainable. For those members who do not use email, I have asked for their secretary's details. So I always send, when I send to members, I send to everyone, including the secretary. So I just want to remind members who do not use their emails to check with their admin staff. And I do always put a note on the email that they should print for their members, including the email itself, because I explain things on the email. And in terms of adding to the documents that Dombi has just circulated for members to look into, I send on email the scorecard and the midterm review from the presidency, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So I'll suggest members that they look at the midterm review specifically. It's a national government midterm review from 2009 until November 2011. And the monitoring and evaluation, they look specifically in terms of the national priority outcomes, how departments perform. So in regards to this committee, the outcomes is outcome 4, which is jobs, outcome 7, which is rural development, and outcome 10, which is environmental management, natural resource management, and environmental sustainability. In the midterm review, I've highlighted the pages where the specific information is. It's not much, about 3 to 4 pages in each case, but I think there's more on outcome 7, the rural development, where all the conditional grants come into play when it comes to agriculture. So if members can look at that.
Yes, may I just ask that if the file is as big as this one, it was like 9 megabytes, and there are 3 different files, can you just put it in 4 megabytes, and in different emails so that it can, it was too big for my email address to receive, so just break it up to different documents.
I can do that. Send them separately.
Yes.
Send the file separately.
Yes,
yeah. I can do that next time.
Can I see our meeting next week? Do we have a meeting on Tuesday?
Yes.
23rd? And your agenda for them?
Honourable members, tomorrow we're having a meeting, the report back from DAF, Industry Forum, and also will grow up on the challenges facing the industry. Tuesday, yes. And that week, the following week, we are having disaster management response. That will be the following week, Tuesday.
Next week, AFASA, this new Black Farmers Association, they're having their conference on the 21st and 22nd. And also, we're getting this invitation also from Fish South Africa. They're looking for a date from us for us to go to West Coast, St. Helena Bay, see their processing plants, their industry, how it works, and so on and so forth. But this one will have to be factored into our program. It could form part of our oversight.
Is it next year or this year's program?
Well, depending on when do we get time, it will be factored into. I guess these are issues that are quite urgent. Members, I think we're done. Yes. Yes. No, do you have a copy? I gave it to you, Mama, the whip. The copy, the invite from our pastor. Maybe it has circulated to members. Okay, members, I think we should be done for now until we meet tomorrow. Where are we meeting tomorrow?
We're
meeting at E3, 4, 5, 3.
I think one of your recommendations must be for the Department of Forestry to plant more trees, because we are cutting many trees.
It's a long-term project.
Meeting stands adjourned.
Excuse me, sir. If members have time on this one, they can look at Chapter 4 and Chapter 5. It's about climate change and its impact on the environment and environmental sustainability to Outcome 10. Speaks to outcome 10, it's environmental sustainability and natural resource management and disasters. But that's 12:13. Not the reporting, yeah.